Okay, great. Hey, everybody. So I am recording this call, and I'll put it on my website if you want to share it with anybody or you need to hop off or what have you. So I'm not using any slides today, so we're just going to be talking. I'll keep it in interactive mode. Can you all hear me? Say yes. Okay. Let's see here. So I've taken you all off hold. This is my first time using instant teleseminar. Usually I just use pre-conference call. So let's see here. In Fort Lupton, can you hear me? I can't hear you. The drag. Okay. So star six to mute. Okay, I'm just going to throw down party. Okay, now can you all hear? Can I hear you? Hello? All right, that's like it works. Okay, so I'm just going to keep going here. There's a phone ringing in the background. I love technology. Let's see. Okay, here we go. So we're going to get started. I don't know if you all can hear me. That's the funny part, because I can't hear you. But I've got you off of mute and off of hold. Okay, so here we go. So this is the first teleconference. We'll have one every other Wednesday at 2 o'clock Mountain Time. This is on the paradox of parenting, and this is the description of our group. Supermom can do it all, but Supermom doesn't want to. And Supermom wants to make good choices, to be happy with the choices, to relax into her amazing self, and to let go of the worry and the guilt that can pervade. So I am Kate Galt. I am a certified coach. I got certified 2 years ago, and I have been coaching my ass off. And really getting to know the art of coaching. So I'm almost to PCC, which is fancy for 750 hours of coaching. So my joy is my family, and my struggle is my family, and there's the paradox right there. I have one daughter. Her name is Evelyn, and she is 3.5 years old, and she is a strong-willed little thing, and I have never loved someone and been so frustrated with someone all at the same time in my life. I am 39 years old. I am going to have a baby in late May. So I can see here everybody's calling in. Everybody's catching up here. So let's see here. That's my story. I live in Boulder, Colorado, and I love to coach. I do one-on-one coaching. I do group coaching, and I do lots of workshops and such. Today, we're going to talk about six major things here. What a paradox is and why parenting feels like such a paradox. Then we're going to talk about my vision for you. And after that, we're going to address some limiting beliefs and saboteurs that keep us from self-care. And then we'll also talk about impeccable self-care. We're going to discuss some personal values and priorities, and then it goes into balance very naturally from there. And after that, we'll have some homework. I have a Facebook group for people that are invited only, and I'll get into that at the end. So can you all, I just want to know if you can hear me. Can you hear me? So it says all guests can talk. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. I can hear people. I haven't been able to hear anyone yet. So, okay, great. So this is an interactive thing. So when I ask you all questions, don't be shy. You can just speak up. You'll get more out of it. So I've been doing lots of homework on what is a paradox. And there's so many different paradoxes in the world. It's basically, it's hard to explain, right? So there's 100 different definitions in Wikipedia and then all of these things that I've been thinking about. So here's what struck me the most about the paradox. But one must not think ill of the paradox, for the paradox is the passion of thought. And the thinker without the paradox is like the lover without passion. This, then, is the ultimate paradox of thought, to want to discover something that thought itself cannot think. It's kind of heady, but really cool. I'll put it on the Facebook forum for us so that we can read it again and again. But they're basically, it's two seemingly opposite ideas existing at once. That's a paradox. Two seemingly opposite ideas existing at once. The joy and the strife of parenting. Like this morning, my daughter was all over me. She was, Mom, 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 Mom. But then she was so cute at the same time. And I just was feeling that paradox very, very deeply. So I've got some quotes on paradox. Here's one from John Lennon. He says, "It's weird not to be weird." Another one from Rita Mae Brown. "Good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from bad judgment." So these get you thinking, don't they? You kind of have to, you have to catch up. It's the 2 o'clock hour. It might be the after lunch kind of slow brain hour. So we'll get you warmed up here. Religion. This is John Stewart. Religion. Oh, I can't read my handwriting. It's given people hope in a world torn apart by religion. There's another one by Einstein, one of my favorites. Life is a preparation for the future, and the best preparation for the future is to live as if there were none. This is, oh, I didn't write his name down. He's the author. Stephen King. Fighting for peace is like fucking for chastity. And then the last one I have here is, he who fears he shall suffer already suffers what he fears. So these are paradoxes. These are statements or ways of being that apparently contradict themselves, yet they're true. And so every day we just live in a paradox. And when we get into personal values and priorities and balance, there's many paradoxes here. We'll get into that. Okay, so moving on, I have a poem for the mother. This is a celebration for us. When I find that my needs aren't all being met and that I just want to be worshipped as the amazing mother I am, this is for us when you feel that way. So, no painter's brush, nor poet's pen, injustice to her fame, has ever reached half high enough to write a mother's name. I read it again. No painter's brush nor poet's pen, injustice to her fame, has ever reached half high enough to write a mother's name. So here's my vision overall for what I do in the world and also for these calls. Through these discussions, we'll begin to be more aware and mindful of daily decisions. We'll have a bigger grasp on our big life, and our intuition will guide us on where to say yes and where to say no. So this is the big picture stuff. We'll feel a true sense of who we be. That's a coaching thing. I've never heard that until I was trained in coaching. But basically, that who we'll be, and then also we'll have a clear map of where we'll go. So both who you be and where you go will align together for a super clear picture of the next steps each day. You'll essentially be holding on to your mission as a guide for your productivity, your resourcefulness, and your superior time management skills. I'll break it down into steps so that this big picture can start to fall into place. Even if you've done some of this work already, like the values work and such, this can be a place for you to dig deeper and build higher. I know there's some coaches on the phone right now, so I know you've done values work, but the more I do it and the deeper I dig, then I'm more able to build higher and make sure that what I'm doing is aligned with who I want to be. So the first step, basically, we're going to begin with is impeccable self-care. This is the first step in what I call, what I've created as the 9 habits of the relaxed parent. And each month we'll talk about the different habits of the relaxed parent. I work with parents specifically because I find that's when life gets the most dynamic. Before I had Evelyn, life was very simple compared to now. And I never could have known that until I had Evelyn. So now that's when I see that priorities and values must be crisp and clear, or else it's like life just seems to pass before our eyes. Anybody can relate? Y'all are so quiet. So first we'll delve into limiting beliefs, what I call saboteurs. I like to go back and forth between the words saboteur and gremlin. Those are the voices inside our head that I'll get into a little bit more. And then impeccable self-care. So a lot of times impeccable self-care, taking care of ourselves and our mind and our body and our soul, is hijacked by the saboteur's voice, the voices inside our head that aren't necessarily our own voices, the voices inside our head that make us feel small. Now, to know thyself takes a lifetime. I find that I do my best work with clients who know this. They don't go, oh, I already know myself, I'm good, thanks. They go, oh, there's more, oh, it's deeper, it's like an onion. So to know the voices in our head is a super great start to increase self-awareness so that we can drop limiting beliefs, make sure that our actions align with who we are or who we want to be. So the message that I'm telling myself, is it really coming from me? Is it coming from my spirit? Or is it my mom, which can serve me or it doesn't, you know, sometimes it serves, sometimes it doesn't. But going into limiting beliefs and the saboteur talk helps us excavate what voices are dissonant. Dissonant means, ew, yuck, and it makes you feel constrictive, it makes you sad, it makes you feel yucky, it makes you stressed, overwhelmed, all of that stuff is dissonant. And then what voices are resonant? Resonant, I like that word. I can feel the body of wine, you know, when you drink wine and it has a resonant feeling. I can think of being in choir and feeling all of everybody, all of the altos and sopranos and basses in tune. It's just got that expansive quality of resonance. So if we can break down our thoughts, like if we can, first of all, notice what we're thinking, what we're saying to ourselves, the messages that we're giving ourselves, that's such a great step in breaking barriers and taking transformation. So let's learn to feel our conversations that continually blab on. A lot of times I know a conversation that's happening in my head, I can recognize it by listening to, by feeling my body. Like usually my left shoulder really tightens up when I'm starting to say, when my saboteur is starting to say, you're not enough, you can't do this, you shouldn't do this, like, you know, and just keeping me into the status quo. Anybody have any examples of things that they say to themselves? Moms and dads, welcome. I'll give you an example this morning. In this paradox of my daughter just, you know, driving me crazy, like every second, mom, 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 you know, and then my voice inside my head was like, one of them said, run away. Another one said, oh, she just wants love. You should just love her. Another one said, you know, wow, I can't even believe you're even stressed about this. At least you have this kid. You wanted her, you know. So that was 3 things going on right there. 2 of them were saboteurs, and one of them actually, the one that's like, oh, she just wants love. You know, that's just an observer, and that's got a more resonant quality to it. So think about a time when you're with your child and you're halfway bothered and halfway not bothered, or maybe you're completely bothered. Is there a time that you can think of that you want to share? It's so much more fun if we share. You guys want to share? We've got 5 people on the call. Interesting. But you guys can talk, right, Pete?
Yes, you can hear me?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and how's my audio?
I struggle when I'm trying to do something, and like you said, Todd wants attention. And
yeah, and what is the actual dialogue in your head?
Actual dialogue in my head is...
Yeah, like what's the voice saying in first person?
It's like, I just want time for myself. I just let me do this.
Yeah. And then the other one's like, man, you shouldn't do that because you should give your time to your daughter or whatever, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's
hard.
A lifetime. Yeah, it is. It is. It's a lifetime to basically, like, take out the voices. Like, which voice is this? You know, some people, they have their banker voice, you know, like, oh, you couldn't possibly spend that money. And, you know, then they have the beauty queen voice of just like, you're just not pretty enough for me. And just all these little voices that really aren't who we are. They're not coming from our soul. They're not coming from our spirit. And the point of, you know, drawing impeccable self-care into why am I talking about the saboteur and limiting beliefs is a lot of times we don't take care of ourselves because we have these silly beliefs. They're illogical. They're not to really be judged too much, but we all have them, and they are that I'm not enough. I'm not enough. And it's this strange phenomena. And when I've been in groups of international people, you know, people from other countries, they don't have this I'm not enough as much as the U.S. does. So it's an interesting cultural thing. Like, we're supposed to be meek. We're supposed to be we're just supposed to be quiet and not want too much and not expect too much. But I think that the coaching movement has really helped people see, like, oh, okay, well, at least if I know my limiting beliefs, I can get by, I can get through, and I can start doing things to serve myself better. So that's where that expanding, resonant feeling starts to come in. And once that feeling is there, it's pretty amazing how the doing part of your life, where you choose to go ride your bike instead of play Candy Crush, or you choose to do something that really serves you, those things start to just flow. We start to make more decisions. The less limiting beliefs we have, or the more that we're aware of our limiting beliefs. We don't have to get rid of them. We just have to be aware of them. The more we're aware of our limiting beliefs, the more we get through them. They are our obstacles to impeccable self-care. So if I want to be a relaxed parent, I have to remember that the voices inside my head need to be managed. I need to remember that the saboteur, the gremlin, whatever, needs to be listened to. It can't be ignored because what we resist persists. It needs to have light shown upon it, but it doesn't need to drive the bus. The part of us that is resonant, that is big, that is loving, that is kind, that is compassionate, that is clear, that's the part of us that we want to call for us every day. And if it's not coming up for us, then we need to find the tools to help it come up for us, which is kind of ironic. Self-care. When we actually take a step forward to self-care, we're going to help ourselves get clearer on those voices, to be able to make a move in favor of our well-being. So, good. Okay, so that's the saboteur and limiting beliefs. And again, it's amazing. Once we are really clear about who we want to be, and we get over, or we illuminate the limiting beliefs, we just start to do what we want to do. It's what's important for us in our lives. And that takes us into personal values. And then we'll talk about priorities after we talk about personal values. Now, on the Facebook forum, the group, the private group, I put a file in that's called Values Clarification and Mission Statement. It's super cool work. That if you're not, if you can't just tell me your 10 values right now, I want you to fill this out because it's going to help you get your values straight to get your priorities straight. So it helps you know who you want to be so that you can make daily decisions on what you want to do. It gets everything super clear. So what is a value? Values are what is most important in your life. It's what gives your life meaning and relevance. And it creates your inner framework of how you make choices and how, and it can be your deepest motivator, right? It's going to help you get shit done. So honoring your values brings richness and fulfillment to your life. And knowing what your values are will assist you in finding your direction, your purpose, your intention, your priorities. So I'm going to read just a few values off right now because I just want you to start to think about what your main values are. And I always love people to have a list of their top 10. 10 is a lot. There's tons of values that we all have, but in order to rank them, it's pretty difficult to do. So in your exercise that I'm going to ask you to do on Facebook, you can circle 10 of them without really thinking about it because your heart knows. This doesn't have to be a mind exercise. So here's some examples. Balance, beauty, family, feeling good, love, knowledge, influence, recognition, self-expression, solitude, creativity. I love talking about values. They just make me happy even reading this list. Because there's just so many things to value in the world. Fun, friendship, freedom, focus. Cool. So I want you to choose your values and rank them. And then share them on the forum. And I'll talk about that again later on at the end of the call. Then at the end it has arrange your top values into a mission statement. So here's an example. I bring connection, fun, and innovation into everything I do. My personal mission is to respectfully serve my community and to ensure that I bring respect, connection, and freedom joyfully into everything I do. So you'll be able to write a statement there. And what does it have to do with impeccable self-care? When you know your priorities, when you know your values, then you know what to do. Because if you're doing something that doesn't align with anything that you're clear on that is who you are, it's time to do something different. It's time to change. And by the way, when we do decide to change, the saboteurs get even louder. So it's good to know that they're there and you can laugh at them or beat them up or whatever you want to do mentally in your mind. That's going to be great service for you so that you can live your most extraordinary life. That's my assumption. You all are listening to this because you want an extraordinary life. You want to make sure that when you get to the end of your life, you can look back and go, that was awesome, and I really did what needed to be done, and I lived my purpose. So priorities. Oh, priorities. Those are more tricky. Values are kind of like, okay, yeah, this really resonates with me. But priorities are going to contradict themselves a lot of times. If you have a sick parent and they're dying, then you've got to drop a lot of your other priorities in order to go take care of them for a while. That's what's going to happen. So priorities are the choices we make in day-to-day that align with our values. And if they don't, then it's time to reassess. So what's an example of a priority that someone has for today? To get exercise might be one of them. To spend time with your kids might be another one. Now, if I value... Let's see, I wrote an example down here. If I value, oh, yeah, yesterday. See here. So let's say my top three values are family, number one, number two, spirituality, and number three, work. Okay, so a lot of times I'm going to have to choose between these three. And when it's time to take Evelyn, my daughter, to the doctor, like yesterday, I had a lot of work I wanted to do. Preparing for the teleseminar, you know, getting some coaching work done, I had to just drop it, right? I had to choose my priority by looking at my values. And I knew right away what to do. So I didn't waste any energy hemming and hawing. And if things fell off for me, if they felt off, then I need to rework them, right? If family wasn't one of my priorities, then I might call somebody and ask them to take Evelyn to the doctor and do my work. So as long as I'm clear, that's great. Now, what happens when you have 10 values and you're paying attention to the top four all the time? So, for instance, your number 10 value is, let's look here. Your number 10 value is health. No, I want to change that. Your number 10 value is creativity. You're like, okay, if I can, you know, reach all these other values and get them, you know, integrated into my life and I feel a sense of accomplishment and my needs are met, great. But then that creativity, I find that that's the one a lot of times for people that gets shoved under the carpet. So this is where balance comes in. When we've only stayed at creating priorities with our top values and our lesser values have suffered, then we feel an imbalance. It's actually impossible to do it all of the time, right? And that's a paradox because we want to. We really have this urge. So we continually reassess by listening to our spirit and being aware of but not letting our gremlins drive the bus. Some examples of letting the top priorities, let's see here. What are some examples of letting top priorities overwhelm the others? I gave you a couple, like a sick parent. You know, you're going to have to go to another state and take care of them for a month or who knows on end. That's a lot of your values are going to be ignored for a while. But at least being conscious of them, maybe you can create, you know, do number 10. If that's one of your values is to create, then you figure out how to create while you're taking care of this parent. But a lot of times, you know, something's going to suffer. Something's going to be ignored for a while. And that's where balance comes in. Balance, the coaches love to talk about how balance is never really, it doesn't exist, you know, because it's always a going toward balance or going away from balance, but it's not ever right on the balance. So maybe for a year, you put one of your priorities on the shelf because you just don't have time for that because your other values have taken priority. Make sense? Okay. So I would love to have a discussion here, but it's seeming like it's not going to happen. And that's where I can share with you and you can share back and we can make insight and that kind of thing. I know my husband's on the call. Thanks for supporting me so much. But I know there's three other women on the call. So what are you all doing? What's going on? Are you being shy? Do you want to speak up? What'd you say?
So I was dialed in on the wet through the internet at first, and I don't think you could hear me then, so I had to dial in.
Oh, on the phone? Okay, so they might be on there. Thank you. Because when I planned this, I planned on more of a conversation and a little bit of talking. So anyway, this is being recorded. So you all can have plenty of time to talk back and forth, and any comments you want to make on Facebook, especially if there's a technological error, let me know. What your homework is, if you choose to do it, there's no pressure, but this is fun self-growth stuff. I dig it, if you couldn't tell. So the paradox of parenting is what the Facebook group is called. It's a closed group, and it's by invite only. And I created it so that I could offer you files that you could get, like the value clarification and mission statement. I created it to share pictures of my daughter and my family. And if you wanted to share pictures as well, that would be lovely. And then you can post things like, for instance, your homework, which will be your top five values, as well as, what did I write there? Oh, yeah. something else. Okay, I can't find it. So email me your name if you want to, kate@kategalt.com, kategalt.com, and then I will invite you onto the group. And then I'll have quotes and pictures that I can share, like I said, and that's that. So thank you so much for joining me. It's going to be a short call, 30 minutes, not bad. And let me know if you need anything. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else. We'll be on the call again in 2 weeks. It will be November 19th from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock. Thanks for coming, and we'll talk later.
Thank you.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.